Good morning, good morning. Thursday. Tanas Esther. Easy fast. And we continue to read in this chilly morning How to Win Friends and Influence People. Says Mr. Dale Carnegie, I once employed an interior decorator to make some draperies for my home. When the bill arrived, I was dismayed. A few days later, a friend dropped in and looked at the draperies. The price was mentioned, and she exclaimed with a note of triumph, What? That's awful. I'm afraid he put one over on you. True? Yes. She had told the truth, but few people like to listen to truths that reflect on their judgment. So being human, I tried to defend myself. I pointed out that investing in the best can be cheaper in the long run. That one can expect to get quality and artistic taste at bargain basement prices, and so on and on. The next day, another friend dropped in, admired the draperies, bubbled over with enthusiasm, and expressed a wish that she could afford such exquisite creations for her home. My reaction was totally different. Well, to tell the truth, I said, I can't afford them myself. I paid too much. I'm sorry I ordered them. When we are wrong, we may admit it to ourselves. And if we are handled gently and tactfully, we may admit it to others and even take pride in our frankness and broad-mindedness. But not if someone else is trying to ram the unparalleled fact, the unpalatable fact, down our esophagus. Shai says, if I admit it, of course I'll admit it. But don't you admit it. Don't you can accuse me on it. Or blame me or shame me or point it out even to me. It's about somebody, let's say, is overweight and a parent was asking, this wasn't a podcast, the parent was asking, how do you tell an adult child that they're overweight? So the therapist says it like this. Nobody in this world knows more about their being overweight than the person itself. It's like another mushl on this. Was after the manner? Was after zugen? I think the person doesn't know. So they says zugdu. You'll point it out. The natural instinct is to defend. Don't point it out. Make it exciting about how exciting it is, and then the person will point it out themselves. I guess. Horace Greeley, the most famous editor in America during the time of Civil War, disagreed violently with Lincoln's policies. He believed that he could drive Lincoln into agreeing with him by a campaign of argument, ridicule, and abuse. He waged this bitter campaign month after month, year after year. In fact, he wrote a brutal, bitter, sarcastic, and personal attack on President Lincoln the night Booth shot him. But did all this bitterness make Lincoln agree with Greeley? Not at all. Ridicule and abuse never do. If you want some excellent suggestions about dealing with people and managing yourself and improving your personality, read Benjamin Franklin's autobiography, one of the most fascinating life stories ever written, one of the classics of American literature. Ben Franklin tells how he conquered the habit of argument and transformed himself. He used to be a big arguer, but he transformed himself into one of the most able and diplomatic men in American history. One day when Franklin was a blundering youth. That was Franklin's autobiography. And before we were talking about Lincoln. So one day when Franklin was a blundering youth, an old Quaker friend took him aside and lashed him with a few stinging truths. Something like this. Ben, you are impossible. Your opinions have a slap in them for everyone who differs with you. They have become so offensive that nobody cares for them. Your friends find they enjoy themselves better when you're not around. You know so much that no man can tell you anything. Indeed, no man is going to try, for the effort would lead only to discomfort and hard work. So you are not likely ever to know any more than you do now, which is very little. One of the finest things I know about Ben Franklin is the way he accepted that smiring rebuke, the Messer, das Ungenehmen. He was big enough and wise enough to realize that it was true, to sense that he was headed for failure and social disaster. So he made an about face. He began immediately to change his insolent and opinionated ways. I made it a rule, said Franklin, to forbear all direct contradiction to others and all positive assertions of my own. I even forbade myself to use the use of every word or expression in the language that imported a fixed opinion, such as certainly, undoubtedly. I made it a rule not to use these kinds of strong words. Instead, I adopted I conceive, I apprehend, I imagine, I think, maybe, it seems to be. I think to be or so. It appears to me at the present. These are the kind of words he took on instead. But another asserted something that I thought an error. I denied myself the pleasure of contradicting. When another asserted something that I thought an error, it's alles nach what Franklin says. When another asserted something that I thought was error, I denied myself the pleasure of contradicting him abruptly and of showing immediately some absurdity in his proposition. And in answering, I began by observing that in certain cases or circumstances, his opinion would be right. But in the present case, there appeared or seemed to me some differences, etc. I soon found the advantage of this change in my manner. The conversations I engaged in went on more pleasantly. The modest way in which I proposed my opinions procured them a readier reception and less contradiction. I had less mortification when I was found to be in the wrong, and I more easily prevailed with others to give up their mistakes and join with me when I happened to be in the right. At this mode, which I at first put on with some violence and natural inclination, so basically saying that his nature was to contradict and fight and argue, and somebody took him aside and told him, you're making enemies, basically. People don't love you for it. You can think you're so smart, but people don't love you. So he changed that, and he just said, it seemed to be, you know, many times you're right. You know, it happens to be, you say a very good point, and in many cases you're right. But I think in this case, how about we, it seems to me, did you think of this idea this way? And this mode, which I at first put on with some violence to natural inclination, his natural inclination was to argue, and he had to fight himself. Eventually, it became so easy and so habitual to me that perhaps for these 50 years past, for the past 50 years when he wrote this, no one has ever heard a dogmatical expression escape me. And to this habit, after my character of integrity, I think it principally owning that I had earned so much weight with my fellow citizens when I proposed new institutions or alterations in the old, and so much influence in public council when I became a member. For I was but a bad speaker, never eloquent, subject to much hesitation in my choice of words, hardly correct in language, and yet I generally carried my points. Versteist. Er sagt, es ist nicht ein Baldover, nicht gekannt reden, als er geht. But he brought it out in a way that he gave the other person the chance to save face and to be, and to feel that the person was right. And that is what caused him to win over other people. So what are you going to do today about this? Just using the same examples we used here today. Anyway, make it a great day. Easy fast. And see you tomorrow. Yes, it was a wonderful snap ahead. Wishing you an amazing Simcha Degatz, Lucha Degatok.